Thank you very much for the invitation. So my seminar is organized. First of all, here there is a list of co-authors that contributed to this to all what I said. Oh, perfect. Thank you. All what I'm saying, going to say in this talk. And I put just a basic reference here on the general theory that I'm going to use. And so I will discuss in particular some more recent results that you can find on the archive. So the talk is organized in this way. I will give before a general overview of the structure that is behind the macroscopic fluctuation theory, and then I will discuss a specific example that is a one-dimensional model where there is an external field of stochastic particles. Indeed, in this case, is a stochastic system of energies evolving that is exactly solvable, and I will discuss in detail these things here. So I'm just starting with briefly recall what are the random variables, large deviations. This is really the basic framework where you can discuss large deviation. Just you have a collection of independent, identically distributed random variables. This is what is called the Cramer theorem. It says that if you are interested to the probability that the average of this random variable is close to a given real value x, then you discover that this is exponentially small with n, and the parameter of the exponential decay is I of x, and is called in this framework the large deviation rate functional. So this object here is something that describes the exponential asymptotic decay of fluctuation. So if you are interested to see the probability that this average assume a value that is different from the typical one, this is exponentially small, and the rate is exactly this large deviation rate function. So this there are some formal definitions, but essentially what does it mean? This it means that this random variable here, when n is very big, as a form that is of this type here, where there is a prefactor here that is so is irrelevant at exponential scale. So you can forget about this. For example, just so this is just to be sure that all of you know about what I'm speaking. For example, you can take a Gaussian random variable. You can have a sequence of Gaussian random variables like this. Then here you have that the large deviation rate function is this one, and the density has this form here. So you can see here that is exactly of this type before. And in a sense, we are losing some information just describing, in this case, indeed, we are not really losing information. But you see, to describe the models using just large deviation, you can, if you don't remember which is the correct normalization, you can forget it, because at exponential scale is irrelevant. But more generally, which is the idea that is behind, this density here could be, you could obtain this density as a solution of a specific, for example, a combinatorial problem for which to find exactly the solution can be difficult. And the difficulty can be really here on the computation of these sub-exponential terms. And if you have a way to compute, if you are interested just on the asymptotic exponential behavior of the system, so on the large deviation rate function, it could be interesting to have an approach that goes directly to this object here, forgetting about the details that can be difficult in specific problems. So the large deviations for particle systems, how it works. So the general framework is this. So you have a bounded domain on RD. You can think on two dimension or one dimension, an interval. And you take a lattice of sites 1 over n, that is the discrete approximation of your domain. So you have the bounded domain and a lattice or, where the lattice sites is of order 1 over n. And then you put a configuration of particles. So on each nodes of this grid, so you have this graph, that is this discrete structure that is approximating the domain, and eta is a configuration of particles. So for example, if you have a kind of exclusion rule so that on each site there can be at maximum one particle, then a configuration of particle is just a configuration of 0 and 1 on the vertices of the lattice. But you can have, for example, a system that does not satisfy this constraint, so that then you can have on each lattice sites, you can have an arbitrary number of particles. Or more generally, you can have also on each lattice sites, you can have, for example, a configuration of energy. So you can have a real valued, real value on each lattice sites. So with this notation here, I will denote the number of particles at site x on this lattice and at time t. In general, no, so of course, the best is to compute exactly. You fix a given configuration of particles, eta star, and you want to compute which is the probability to observe exactly this configuration. So in general, of course, this is, depending on the model, can be very difficult. And then we will be interested on just not to compute exactly this probability, but to give a coarse-graining description of the system. And we will be in particular interested in asymptotic large deviations description of the system. So how it works in this framework, large deviations, I can find a large deviations like the Cramer theory that I was discussing at the beginning. So given a configuration, so the basic construction is this, given a configuration of particles eta, you associate to this configuration of particle what is called the empirical measure. So the empirical measure is this object here that is a positive measure on the domain lambda. So recall that we are working on a domain lambda. We are approximating with a discrete lattice on this. And so this is just a measure, and this anatomic measure. So it's a combination of delta measures. Each of these measures is multiplied by 1 over n to the power d times eta of x. For example, you can imagine, so at least a natural way of thinking on this, for example, if you have an exclusion rule, you can imagine that each particle has a mass that is 1 over n to the power d, and you put a mass of 1 over n to the power d on the lattice where you have particles, and you don't put anything where there are no particles. So this is a measure, and then this is the definition, but if you prefer, sometimes it's better. I can describe this measure just saying how it acts on a function f. So if I'm integrating this measure, the empirical measure with a function f, I'm getting exactly this value here. Then I will say that if I have a sequence of configuration, so you have to imagine that the lattice, for each n, I have a lattice that is becoming dense, where when n is large, then I'm saying that and for each n, I can have a configuration of particles. I will say that this configuration of particles is associated to a given density profile rho of x. So this is a density of an absolutely continuous measure. If you have this convergence, and this convergence means that if I'm integrating a continuous function with respect to the corresponding empirical measure, this is converging to this value. And this has to hold for any test function f. So what happens for the system of particles that I'm describing, that typically for finite n, the empirical measure is random and atomic, so it's a combination of delta measures. But in the limit, becomes deterministic and absolutely continuous. For example, take on the lattice, you can take a configuration of particle that is just a sequence of alternating 0 and 1. So you put a 1 on a lattice sides, and in the nearest 1, you put a 0. If you have a configuration like this, then this in the limit when n is large, this empirical measure is converging to a flat measure with parameter 1/2. So it's just the Lebesgue measure multiplied by 1/2. But for example, you can imagine a more complex situation. So on each lattice size, you put a particle with probability p of x. So this is a number between 0 and 1. And you do this choice independently on each lattice size. So you just this is an inhomogeneous Bernoulli product distribution. So on each lattice side, you toss a coin, and the parameter of the coins is space dependent. And then in this situation, this computation is just you can do this computation like using Chebyshev inequality. So it's like the usual law of large number, but with a spatial structure. So then also in this case, this empirical measure will converge to something that is absolutely continuous, will be not random in the sense that for any epsilon that you fix, the probability that this integral is differ from this by more than epsilon is going to zero when epsilon goes to zero. So this is the example before was a law of large numbers. So you have a measure on your configuration of particles. Then the law of large numbers is just that as this form here. So there is a density profile rho bar of x, and when n is big, the limit when n goes to plus infinity of this probability is going to zero for each epsilon. So this is a law of large numbers, and like in the Cramer theory, where you develop a theory of large deviations for the associated to the usual law of large numbers, here we want to develop a theory of large deviations associated to this special law of large numbers. So we want to, we want to compute the probability that the empirical measure is close to a different, so fix here an absolutely continuous measure that is different from the typical one, that has this typical density profile. Then you ask, what is the probability that you have that this empirical measure is close to this atypical distribution of mass rho of x? Then for the class of models that I'm describing, this probability is exponentially small, and the as before, the exponential rate v of rho, it's the associated large deviation rate function. So typically, as this large deviation rate function will be bigger or equal than zero, and it will be zero only on the typical value rho bar. So this is the general typical structure. In the case of equilibrium system, for example, you can imagine a product measure, but this general structure holds for any Gibbs measure. No? I mean, you can imagine a Gibbs measure, and you can imagine to be not in the region of phase transition, but this is true also in the region of phase transition. But imagine this, then there is a general approach, a general theorem that in the theory of large deviation is called Gartner-Rayleigh's theorem, is that you have to compute this object here, that is can be called the pressure, for physicists called pressures, and you compute this limit here. In the case of independent, if you have an independent distribution of particles, this is very easy to compute, and then you compute the large deviation rate function just as a Legendre transform. And what you get in general in all this general situation is that the typical structure of this rate function here is this one. Even if you have, even in the case, for example, in the inhomogeneous, so this is true even if you have a structure that is not homogeneous. For example, in the inhomogeneous Bernoulli distribution with the parameter pi of x, this is exactly the structure of the rate function. And in this case, you can even compute explicitly, which is this object here that is called the density of free energy. In general, if you have a Gibbs measure, you cannot compute explicitly this f, but you can give some characterization. But in general, when you have a let's say when you have a Gibbsian distribution, this is the general structure of the large deviation rate function. And I want to point out here that this way of proceeding cannot be true in general, because if you compute a large deviation rate function like this, you are getting something that is always convex, but in the framework of particle systems, you can get some rate function here for the empirical measure that cannot be convex. So this is a general way of proceedings that works in several cases but cannot be general. So we will be interested in studying large deviations for a system with a dynamics. So in particular, we will be interested. So for the moment, there was no dynamics on our model. Now we have still the same framework with a bounded domain, a lattice that is approximating it. And now we have configuration of particles. And the configuration of particles, they evolve with a random Markovian evolution that is local. So the configuration of particles is changing on time, but just locally. You cannot have a very drastic changement on the structure of the particles. So this is the rate at which my configuration is changing from eta to eta prime. And this evolution is usually encoded in what is called the generator. So the generator is just a, here there is equal that is missing. So here, L, the generator that acts on a function f is equal to the sum of all the possible transitions. So this is just to encode that there, if you have a configuration eta, there are a lot of possible local transition and changement on the structure of the configuration of particles. Associated to this Markovian dynamics, there is an invariant measure that is the measure that determines the stationary behavior of the system. So it's characterized by the condition that if you distribute the starting time, the particles according to this measure here, so this distribution is not changing in time. So this is the measure that characterizes the behavior of the system on long time. And in general, if you have a reversible model, it can be easy to compute the invariant measure. Sometimes, so even in the reversible case, cannot be completely easy. But if you have a not reversible dynamics, then to compute the invariant measure is difficult. And we will be interested in the problem of not computing exactly the invariant measure, but to compute its asymptotic behavior. So it's a large deviation rate function. So which are the models that we will discuss? The first model is I will discuss specific problems only in one dimension. And the first model is the boundary-driven exclusion process. So the domain, we are in one dimension, so the domain lambda is an interval, and this is the lattice. The system satisfies an exclusion rule. So on each lattice side, there can be at most one particle. And each particle try to do a simple random walk. So each particle jumps with probability with a rate, with a constant rate, let's say a unitary rate to the right and with a unitary rate to the left. So each particle try to do a continuous time simple random walk, but there is this constraint of R-core repulsion. So you cannot have more than one particle on each side. So when this particle try to jump to the right, since this site is already occupied, this jump is forbidden. So here there is the interaction between the particle. This is forbidden. And then the system is boundary driven because it's in contact with some reservoirs at the left and on the right boundaries. So the two reservoirs are different, so they are characterized by two rates of injection of particles. So if a particle is here, the particle is trying to do a simple random walk, so this particle can jump to the left and stay inside the system, but can jump to the right, and then the particle is destroyed. When the particle jumps outside of the system, it's destroyed. But if I have an empty site here, I can create particles from the external reservoir with a given rate. So here, with a given rate that is different from the one that is here, particles are created. So when the when the system, when the two rate of creation are equal, so R0 is equal to R1, the system is reversible, and it's an equilibrium system, and the invariant measure is a product of Bernoulli measure with a given parameter that is fixed by the intensity of injection. But when R0 is different from R1, the model, there is a flux of particles through the systems, and the model is no more reversible. And to find the invariant measure, it's very difficult. So there are some combinatorial representations, but it's, so the invariant measure of the system is not a simple object. In this case, when it's in the reversible case, it's a very simple object, but when it's not reversible, it's not. Another class of models that I will discuss, so the spatial structure is like the one before. So I am always in the one-dimensional lattice. I have a one-dimensional interval, and I have a lattice of sides 1 over n. But now, on each lattice sides, I can put an energy, so positive real numbers. At the value of it at x is the motivation is by the original original introduction of this model. There was an interpretation in terms of energy. So this is the so-called KMP model by Kipnis, Marchioro, and Presutti model. So the random evolution is the following. If you have two nearest neighbor lattice sites, you have two different values of the energy. There is a random clock associated to bonds of the lattice. When the and this random clock, this clock is an exponential random variable. So when this random clock rings, and this rings according to an exponential random time, that is the one that gives the, in such a way that the system is Markovian. So when the clock associated to these edges is ringing, I do the following operation. I take the two energies that I have in the two nearest neighbors lattice sites. I sum the two. So I do the sum of these two energies. Then I throw in on this interval a random variable uniformly distributed. So this is a specific value of a uniformly distributed random variable. So I cut again this energy in a uniform way, and I share back the energy. So let's say the upper part I put on the left. So this is exactly this part here. And the bottom part I put on the right. So this is the part on the right. So this is the random dynamics on the bulk. And there is also a dynamics on the boundary. So this system, I imagine also this system in contact with some reservoirs. So there are several ways of describing the reservoirs. Let's say that at the extreme lattice sides, with exponential time, what I'm doing, I erase the energy that I have, and I put a new energy that is exponentially distributed. And the two, and again, I can create two different mechanisms at the two boundary sides. Because I'm going to distribute the energy in an exponential way, but I can use two different parameters of these exponential random variables. If I'm using the same parameter at the two boundary sides, then the system is again reversible, and the invariant measure is a product of exponential random variables. Otherwise, if I'm replacing the energy at the two boundaries with the exponential random variables, but having different parameters, then the model it's not reversible anymore, and the invariant measure it's not known. And I think that there are no representations. So really, in this case, it's there are no representation of the invariant measure for this model in the non-reversible case. So these two type of part of systems, they have a scaling limit, and the natural scale for which you have a non-trivial evolution at macroscopic level is the diffusive one. So you have to the space you see is rescaled by order 1 over n, because each particle can do a jump of order 1 over n. Then to see something not trivial in the scaling limit, I have to use the diffusive scaling limit. So I have to accelerate the rates by n squared. And then in this case, you have that, so this is a general result, that the empirical measure, now for each time I can compute the empirical measure, and for each time the empirical measure is converging to an absolutely continuous measure that is characterized by a density rho, so this is the low large number at time t, and the density rho is characterized as the solution of this nonlinear diffusion equation. So this is the initial condition is just fixed, the rho zero is fixed by the way in which you are preparing your system at time zero. You are preparing the system at time zero in such a way that the empirical measure at time zero is associated to the density rho zero. The boundary conditions are fixed by the reservoirs that you are fixing. So I'm really accelerating the reservoirs. And then for this class of models, in this scaling here, where all the reservoirs are also accelerated by n square, I have that the density at the boundary cannot so it's fixed by the parameter of the reservoir that I'm choosing. So in the one-dimensional case, rho zero t will be equal to rho minus, and rho one t will be equal to rho plus, and rho minus and rho plus are fixed by the parameter that I have on the microscopic model. So this is the nonlinear equation, and in this case, for this class of models, so this is it's called the diffusion matrix, and you have an explicit form of the diffusion matrix. So both models, they have a diffusion that is just one. So if we are in one dimension, it's just one. Otherwise, it's the identity matrix. Another class of models that is interesting and it's relevant for this particle system is the so-called weakly asymmetric models. So you have a weakly asymmetric model that is constructed like this. So take a smooth vector field on your bounded domain. You have your domain. This is a continuous object. It's just a smooth object. We see that, for example, imagine the evolution of the exclusion model where there are really particles that are jumping. For the KMP, you can do the same. But if you have a particle that is jumping from x to y, so the configuration, this is the configuration when one particle jumps from x to y, and this vector field is going a work that is the line integral of E of this vector field along this the edge of the system. And this work that you are doing, so this integral of the vector field is of order 1 over n because the vector field is smooth, and the lattice, you have to remember that the lattice is of order 1 over n. So I'm doing this integral on a segment. This is a segment that is, the length of this segment is over the 1 over n. Then a weakly asymmetric model is a model where I have the rates of transition, so the rate from going from the configuration eta to the configuration eta xy, so the rate with which a particle that is at x jumps to y is given by the original rates, that for simple exclusion, for example, this is 1, times this correction here. So since this is of order 1 over n, you have that for this, when you have this regime for your models, you have that the perturber rates are equal to the original rates plus a correction that is of order 1 over n. So this is the reason why I'm calling this class of models weakly asymmetric models, because there is an asymmetry. So if I am in one dimension, the vector field is positive, the particle are trying to go to the right, but this asymmetry in the rate, so each particle is not more anymore a simple random walk, but the random walk is biased on the right, but this asymmetry is going to zero with the parameter n. And so this is what I'm calling a weakly asymmetric model. For these weakly asymmetric models, the low large numbers, so the natural scaling is again the diffusive one. So you have to descale by n square. So this is because the asymmetry is weak. And you have still a low of large numbers, so the empirical measure is converging to a density rho. Now, this density rho at time t is characterized by a solution of this equation here before for the model without an external field, the equation was ending here. Now the effect of the external field is to add this term here. Here there is in D dimension, there is an object that is a positive definite symmetric matrix that is called the mobility. And here is the external field. So this is really, this is the smooth external field that I'm putting on my system. And what is important here for all these particle systems is that the two objects that are here, d and sigma, the diffusion coefficient and the mobility, they are not independent. They are related by a relation that is the Einstein relation, that is this one. This f here, if you it's the density of free energy. It's exactly the function that you obtain as a large deviation rate function for the system when it is in equilibrium. So, for example, take the exclusion process and consider the exclusion process in equilibrium. This means, for example, I can consider the interval 0, 1, and I put in contact with two equal reservoirs. Then I know the invariant measure is a product of Bernoulli. I compute the large deviation for this system in equilibrium. This large deviation rate function will have the general form. So it's a bit, no, it's in the other direction. Sorry. This general form here, with this density, with this function f, that for simple exclusion will be exactly this. And this is exactly the f that appears here in the Einstein relation. For these two models, it is possible to compute. These are some kind of magic models, are so-called gradient model, for which is possible to compute explicitly both the diffusion and the mobility, and recall that the diffusion coefficient was always one. But in this case, they have two different mobilities. So the KMP model has a mobility that is rho square, and the simple exclusion has a mobility that is rho 1 minus rho. So this is, you have to accelerate. Then you can consider another object for which you can compute the scaling limit, and that is empirical current. So take an edge of the lattice and call this object here the number of particles that jump from x to y up to time t. The current that you observe across this lattice is given by this difference, no? The number of particles that go from x to y minus the number of particles that go from y to x. That is an antisymmetric object. Then you define empirical current. So this is a that is an object that is similar to the empirical measure. This is a vector value measure on space and time. So this is just a kind of formal description of this, but maybe it's better not to really look at this. I will give you a better description on the next slides. But if you want, it's just you need to construct an object, a discrete object, that satisfy a discrete continuity equation with the empirical measure. So there is, indeed, the object that is here does not really satisfy this, but almost satisfy a continuity equation. So you need to construct a macroscopic object that satisfies a discrete continuity equation. And this is the empirical current that I think that the best definition is this. So as the empirical measure I was describing, just showing how I can integrate the empirical measure with respect to a function. Here I have, since the current is a vector, because there are several directions, I can take a smooth vector field. And I show you how, so this object here that is constructed starting all the history of my particle's configuration up to time t, I have to show how it acts this empirical object with respect to this vector field v. And this is just this. I have to sum of all the possible jumps of the particles. I compute the vector field in the middle of the jump of the particle. I do the scalar product with the jump that is done by the particle. And I sum of all the possible jumps. So this is a sum of on space and time. So here I compute the v at the correct time and so on. So these are the time where there is one particle that jumps from XL to YL, and so on. And recall that this object, so this difference here is of order of 1 over n. So it's a vector of order 1 over n. So this is It seems not, but it's a natural definition to introduce for this class of models. And you have that the empirical current satisfies also a large number. So this object here, that is the empirical current, when n is big, is becoming deterministic and absolutely continuous, and is converging to this j of x, so this object here, where j has this expression here, and rho is the solution of the hydrodynamic equation. So what does it mean, this equation here, that when n is big, the behavior of the empirical current is corresponding, so this is here, this object here that I'm introducing here, is the typical current that I observe once that the distribution of particles is given by a density rho of particles rho. So in the limit for of large n, if the empirical measure is converging to this rho of xt, then the empirical current is converging to this object here. And this is, again, so the natural interpretation is the typical current associated to the system where the typical where the density, when you observe a density profile that is rho. With this object here, you go to the hydrodynamic equation, your hydrodynamic equation becomes this continuity equation where you have to put the current is depending on the rho through this expression here. So the nonlinear diffusion equation that we had before is written exactly like this. The derivative of the density is given by minus the divergence of the typical current associated to the density profile rho. The dynamic large deviation for our system is like this. So consider an initial condition where the particles are associated to a fixed density profile. Then you can prove, so this is, let's say this is this result, the original computation of this just for the density is the celebrated paper of Kipnis, Sola, and Varadhan. So this is, if you want, a generalization of this that contains both the empirical density and the current. So the probability with this initial condition to observe a given density profile and density current is exponentially small with a rate function that depends on the rho and j. And the structure of this functional is like this. So if the rho that you are choosing here, so now rho and j, they don't need to be the solution of the hydrodynamic equation. Indeed, so if you want something interesting, they have not to be the solution of the hydrodynamic equation and the associated typical current. You take a rho and a j, a density profile on space and time, and a current profile in space and time. And then this rate function here is plus infinite if the rho is not satisfying the boundary conditions. So the presence of the external source is fixing the density of the boundaries. So if you are violating this, the rate function is plus infinite. And the rate function is plus infinite also if you are choosing a rho and a j here that do not satisfy the continuity equation, no? Because these two objects here, so the empirical measure and the empirical current are satisfying a continuity equation at discrete level. And so this has to be satisfied also at macroscopic level. Then this is, if you want, it's just a recipe. So it's on how to compute this, that is called the dynamic large deviation rate function. So now you choose a rho and a j. Rho satisfies the boundary condition, and rho and j are related by the continuity equation. Then you put here your j. You write here the j of rho. And since you are not considering the solution of, you are considering a generic pair rho and j that satisfies the continuity equation, if you are not adding this term here, this will not be an equality here. You are not choosing the current so the current that you are choosing is not the typical one associated to the density profile rho. Then to have an equation here, you have to insert this this external field. So this is not a true external field. This is an external field F that you have to put in such a way that this equation is solved. So in that sense, what is the external field that you have to add to the system in such a way that the current that I chose is becoming the typical one. I have to add an external field F that is exactly the one that satisfies this equation here. Then the dynamic large deviation rate function has exactly this form. So is weighting, how strong is the external field? And this weighting contains also the mobility of the system. So this is the dynamic large deviation rate function. And with just some algebra, you can see that you can write this dynamic rate function like this. So it's an integral. So this is just from here to here. It's just a simple algebra. So this is a basic formula that gives to me the large deviation rate function for associated to time-dependent density and current profile jointly. Using this, I can compute, for example, so the so-called quasi-potential. The quasi-potential, it's like this. So here I can forget that I have behind a system of particles, because now I can work purely at variational level. So I have some functionals that are giving to me the exponential rate of fluctuations of my systems. And then I can define this variational problem that I call this V of rho the quasi-potential. I use the same notation as the large deviation rate function for the invariant measure, because indeed they coincide for a large class of models. And I have to do this. So rho bar is a stationary solution of my hydrodynamic equation. And I have to compute the minimum cost that I have to pay to exit at time minus t from the station. So I fix a density profile rho, whatever. So a density profile that for which you want to compute, which is the probability to observe that the empirical measure is close to this density profile rho. Then you have to compute this minimum here. So you have to compute which are the trajectory on density and current that are characterized by the fact that at time minus t, the density coincides with the one associated to the stationary solution of the hydrodynamic equation. And at time zero, the density coincides with the target density that you choose. Then you have to minimize on the time that it takes the system from exiting from this equilibrium rho bar and reach this rho. And you have to minimize over all possible trajectory rho and j of this large deviation rate function. So the object that is computed doing this general minimization is called the quasi-potential associated to the model. And what happens is that indeed the quasi-potential coincides with the large deviation rate functional for the invariant measure. So this is proved by Bodino and Giacomin, if I remember well, at least for the exclusion process, for example. What happens is that this quasi-potential that has this variational characterization that is, so it's, you see that it's very similar to some problems that you have in Lagrangian mechanics. It satisfies an infinite dimensional Hamilton-Jacobi equation that you can write like this, and that has a geometric interpretation, as an orthogonality condition of a splitting of the typical current into a symmetric and anti-symmetric part. So, but this is just to say that now I have the problem that is to determine the exponential probability to observe some density of particles associated to the invariant measure of my system, and I have a purely variational approach. So now I have just to solve problems like this. So let's go to concentrate on a specific problem that is the one-dimensional boundary-driven exclusion process with a constant external field. So now you have the exclusion process in one dimension. And I put an asymmetry. So the particles are filling a constant external field, but the asymmetry is weak. So the rate of jumps from x to x plus 1 is biased by something that is equal to the external field divided by n. Then these models apart some very special choice of the external reservoirs and the external field is not reversible. And the invariant measure has a very complicated structure. There is an explicit representation of this invariant measure. And using this representation of the invariant measure, both Enoe and Derrida, they were able to compute which is the structure of this large deviation rate function. So here I'm putting this index e to recall that the result that I'm getting is depending on the external field that I'm choosing. The density at the boundary are fixed by the external reservoirs. And as I told you, for this system is not reversible apart some special case. When is reversible this system? So the two reservoirs are different. So there is a that they are, if you have no external field, since the two external reservoirs are different, there is a flux of particles. So for example, that goes from rho plus to rho minus. So there is a flux of particles that goes from the source associated with a bigger density to the one with a smaller density. But then you can put an external field. You can put there exists an external field that is the one that is balancing exactly this flux. So the external reservoir, they are trying to push the particle from right to left. And you put an external field that goes from left to right. And this, if you choose the external field in a suitable way, in such a way that you balance exactly, you have no current across the system. And this system is reversible. The system in this case is reversible. And indeed, you have that in this case, the invariant measure is a product of Bernoulli distributions, non-homogeneous Bernoulli distributions. And then you can have two different representations for this large deviation rate function, depending in the two regions, if you have the vector field is bigger or smaller of this typical value here. So this computation here was done by solving explicitly the model, directly working on the model, on the exclusion models. But now you can try, once that you have the solution of the simple exclusion model, you can try to generalize. You can check. Indeed, the first thing that you can do is that you take the solution, you put in the Hamilton-Jacobi equation, and indeed you see that it is a solution. And you can try to generalize then the solution to see if you can, just forgetting about the microscopic dynamics, and you can try to find solution of the Hamilton-Jacobi equations for a general class, for a class that is more general. And indeed, you discover that you can do this for any external fields and for a class of models that is the one that, so I mean one dimension, recall that where the diffusion matrix is constant, I give any quadratic mobility. So I can choose here the parameter as I want. For example, for this choice here, I'm getting the exclusion, but there is also another choice for which I'm getting the KMP. So I'm able to solve the Hamilton-Jacobi equation. I'm able to compute the quasi-potential directly macroscopically without going to look at the model. And indeed, as I told you, for the KMP, the direct solution of the invariant measure, even in this case that is with an asymmetry, is difficult. And I don't know of any solution of this. So the general structure of the large deviation rate function is not local, is a non-local rate function, is like this. So indeed, you can create a lot of solutions of your Hamilton-Jacobi equation just considering a functional that is like this. This is an auxiliary functional that depends both on rho, that has this interpretation of density, and on phi, at this structure here, that is, there is a part that is similar to the equilibrium large deviation rate function. But then there is a part here where there is a lot of depends. So I put the modulus. So this is very general. So all of this, if you take, you can construct a functional that depends just on rho, that is this one. So you take a function that depends just on rho, just choosing phi of rho as a critical point for the functional, for this functional on phi. So if you choose this function here as a critical point like this, you are getting solutions of the Hamilton-Jacobi equations. And indeed, the solution of the both for the KMP and for the simple exclusion have exactly this form. So the quasi-potential has to be computed like this. So it is not local because it has to be computed like this. So you fix a density profile. If you want to compute the quasi-potential associated to this density profile rho, then you have to compute this functional g on a suitable critical solution of your problem. So phi of rho, to compute this specific phi of rho, you have to solve phi of, you have to consider the Euler-Lagrange equation associated to this functional here, and you have to consider the suitable solution of this. So it happens, so there is a, so the structure is a bit complicated, but it means that what happens is that in the two regions for when the external field is big or less than E star, then you have two different representation of the quasi-potential. One is with a sup and one is with an inf. And for KMP and for exclusion, the sup and the inf are happening in different regions of A and the star, but you have a representation like this, where phi is characterized like this. Okay, so then this is a result that is, as I told you, for the simple exclusion model, for each external field can be computed directly from the model, but this can be extended to KMP and to other class of models, any model that has a diffusion matrix that is constant and a mobility that is quadratic. And you have a similar structure, a non-local for each value of the external field is not local and has a structure that is like this. Now you can be interested in considering the total asymmetric limit. This means that I can compute the quasi-potential for each fixed value of the external field. Then what happens if I'm computing the limit when the external field is large on this quasi-potential that is associated to a given fixed A? So for the exclusion process, what happens is that if you compute these two limits here, then you are getting exactly these two objects here that are the totally the large evasion rate function associated to the invariant measure of the totally asymmetric exclusion process. So the totally asymmetric exclusion process is a process, or the asymmetric exclusion process is a process for which the asymmetry is not weak. No? So you can recover exactly this in for this class of model for the exclusion process asymmetric, not weakly asymmetric, you can compute this large evasion rate function again. So by a direct computation, this was done by Derrida, Leibovitz, Speer, originally, you can compute in the two regions where the asymmetry is going in the same direction of the external source or in the others. You have to use you can compute them using combinatorial representation of the invariant measure directly on the asymmetric model, and you recover exactly this large evasion rate function as a limit of these quasi-potentials. And in this case here, recall that this is obtained as a supremum or an infimum of this external, of this auxiliary functional. And then you can compute this limit of the quasi-potential just doing the limit. What you can do the limit where the external field is going to plus or minus infinity on the auxiliary functional. And then you can compute these two objects as an infimum or a supremum on this limit auxiliary functional. Then, as I told you, for the exclusion process, doing this limit here, so you compute this, you take this functional here, you do this limit, you have this object here, and then you minimize or maximize, and you are getting this object here that are still some non-local rate functional that coincide with the large evasion rate functional for the totally asymmetric exclusion process. And the large evasion rate functional is not local for the exclusion process because, so to compute this object here, you have to minimize, so if rho is fixed, and you have to find which is the phi that is monotone, satisfies the boundary conditions, and you have to minimize on all this phi that satisfies this condition here. And what turns out that this, for the exclusion process, this minimization over the phi is still not trivial and depending on rho. For example, just I don't want to write formulas, but for example, in one situation for the exclusion process, you have that when you go to, this is the case when you are the minimizing, if I remember well. This is when, so when you have to, so you have to study the critical points. So when rho is fixed and you have to find which is the phi that is, this is the other region, and you have to minimize in this region. So you, that is minimizing, then you have that rho is fixed, and then you have that the minimizing is obtained by a phi that has a single jump on a position y, but this position is rho dependent. So rho is fixed, then you minimizing as this structure here, and rho is dependent. In the other situation, you have to maximize, and you have some structure so that you have really some convex analytic construction where you can really find which is the phi that minimizes, and still again is rho dependent. But we have the solution also for the KMP model, for example. And what happens if you go on the KMP model is the following, is that if you try to find the critical value associated to the minimization or the maximization of the auxiliary functional, so in the, this is in the case where the external field A goes to minus infinity, you find that the minimizer, the critical value is always like this. So as always a single jump that happens also always at the left boundary. So the minimize, the phi that is minimizing is no more rho dependent. So for each finite value of the external field on the KMP model, you have that you have a quasi potential large deviation rate function that is not local, because you have a complicated minimization related to rho, but in the limit you are getting something for which the minimization does not depend on anymore on rho. And in the other case where the external field is positive, the phi that is minimizing is always constant as a jump on the right boundary. And so this gives to you what, that in the limit, so if you are considering the exclusion model in the limiting, so in the limit of the quasi potential for very large external fields, you are still getting some non-local rate functions that are indeed coinciding with large deviation rate function for the asymmetric models that has been obtained by combinatorial argument, while instead for the KMP model in the limit for finite external field is not local, in the limit you are getting a large deviation like this that is a large deviation rate function associated to product of this exponential random variable. So for totally for the KMP model in the totally asymmetric limit, you see that the dependence of one of the two sources is disappearing and the large deviation is becoming local. This is somehow natural for the model because in the exclusion process, when you take an asymmetry and both external sources are important, because if the particle are going to the left, it's important at which rate I'm creating particle on the right, because a particle is blocking the flux of particles. But this is somehow is not the case for the KMP, because so the mass can go just on the right, but if I'm changing the creation relation of particle on the right boundary, this is somewhere, so it's something that changes just the structure of the model just locally on the boundary of the interval. And so at least this is what you are getting from the macroscopic approach on the limit. So you are losing in the limit this non-local behavior. And I finish here. So thank you.